the music that fills my soul with joy. It's better than a Christmas carol.
Ah, I'm so glad you talked first. I was like, I don't want to talk first this time. Better than a Christmas carol, you reckon?
Yeah. Merry snapping.
Oh, Happy New Year.
Ah, and Merry Christmas.
What is it? The 13th? Whoops. Yeah, I know. Oh, 14th. Yikes.
I don't really know how that happened.
No, where did those days go?
I think we kind of deserved a break too. Like, I never wanted to have a break over Christmas from the snapping, but then, I don't know.
Can we
say that this is the first episode of like season two, even though we've done a few years worth? Can we do that?
You want to? Sure.
Well, you know when we upload to the back end of, we can choose which season, and then it comes up in people's like podcast players as season one. I reckon this should be the start of a new
season two.
Welcome to season two of The Snappening.
Oh. Sweet. Are we more mature now, or do we have to do some like new theme song or something?
Nah.
Less
mature.
Just get a new little ribbon on top. Season two. New paint job.
Yeah. We'll just make even more borderline offensive jokes. How are you, man?
Yeah, I'm good, man. A little bit tired. Baby stuff. I was up early.
Oh.
But it's all good.
Was she... is she not sleeping super well?
No, she's okay. She just has her own schedule, you know. We have to work around her. Yeah. But she's really good.
Nice one, bro.
No, I'm very happy.
Good. And
Are you well?
I'm very well. Let's see. Yeah, I'm actually flying to Tasmania this afternoon.
Ooh.
Yeah, I have a wedding there.
Oh, it's for a job.
It's an elopement. So that's on Saturday. So Michelle and I are going down for like, I don't know, 10 days.
Oh, well, good for you.
Everyone tells me Tasmania is really cool. Like, really very different to the rest of Australia and somewhat similar to New Zealand in many ways.
I've heard that.
Which would be a good thing.
yeah, I've heard that. Yeah,
stoked.
Sweet.
Can't wait, man.
Have you been doing much wedding stuff?
I've done 4 weddings since I came back.
From, what do you mean?
Good point. So I guess, I'm just looking at my diary. The first weekend after New Year's, which was the 4th, I had 2. So I had Friday, Saturday. Whoa. And then this past weekend, I had 2. Friday, Saturday.
Whoa.
You would have done something similar, yeah?
I've done 4. Oh, no, I've done 3 plus an engagement shoot, which was the best engagement shoot I've ever done.
Why?
I haven't shared any of the photos. Oh, I think I shared some photos with you. Did I share a photo of like a dusty road with you a while ago? Tom's just like, whatever, spam.
What is this? Delete. Straight to spam.
I did this engagement shoot. And for the record, I don't love engagement shoots. I even tell my couples sometimes, I'm like, listen, this is as awkward for me as it is for you.
Oh, I can see the dusty road. Yes. You did it on the 28th of December. Yeah, that light's pretty special. And you wrote,
oh, wow. Oh, that was way back then.
Great success.
Oh, yeah, I did. Oh, sorry, that was the 28th. So then I had a wedding on the 3rd, a wedding on the 5th, and a wedding on the 7th, and a wedding on the... So I have done 4 weddings since New Year's. That engagement shoot was before New Year's. That was just... So we went to the beach, which is so boring. I hate going to the beach. But we timed it well with the light. And I went to a beach we don't normally go to, which was cool. And then as we were coming back from the beach, we were traveling... Oh, I've got this farm up the road. I think I would have showed you the farm with the... With the sharing,
man. We spent sort of at least 5 minutes on the side of the road,
lusting
kind of
over it,
frothing over it. Yeah,
it's like a wool shed.
Oh, so good.
So I said to them, "Look, she didn't know if she wanted beach or this farm," and I was like, "Let's just do both." So on the way from the beach to the farm, we had to travel west, which is like straight into the sunset, and we're traveling along this gravel road, and they just over the brow of the hill.
Yeah,
and the sun was coming through, and I was like, "Yeah." And then these cars came through, and I was like, stupid cars.
Yeah.
But and then the dust. Yeah. So I was like, get out of the road. And just got these couple of, oh man, these few frames, which are just, maybe I'll put a photo up. Eh? I haven't shared. I'm really slack at sharing engagement shoots. I'm just like, nah, if they're not weddings, I don't share them, but I should share that one.
I love, oh man, so many.
I got to scroll up.
I really like, when I have to do an engagement shoot, when I have to leave the house, I'm like, oh, why am I? Like, this sucks. But then I get there. So good. Mm. Well, it's pretty much a portrait session where you can choose the best light, the best time, and the best location. Couple have no, you know, at weddings, they're thinking about, oh, I want to be back with my guests. I'm worried about my guests being by themselves, blah, 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 timing, weather. Nothing, none of that matters at an engagement shoot. So I know what you mean. Like when I'm there, beforehand, I'm like, oh, I don't want to do it. It's a waste of time. But I find that I often get pretty good Instagram bangers.
True.
Like that's an Instagram banger. Not that you really, you know, use Instagram, but.
Nah, I'll give it to Kat. She can do whatever you do with Instagram on that one.
Man, my inquiries now are like 75% from Instagram.
Wow.
Like this month I've had 10 from Instagram, 1 from Facebook, 5 from Google since the 1st of Jan.
Absolutely. I love how you track those. It's so good.
I really think it's important to know where to put all your effort in terms of marketing.
Insta. I was at a wedding the other day and someone said to me, what happened? I said, oh yeah, something about Facebook. And they said, oh yeah, I suppose that's pretty good for the older types.
You're still posting pretty frequently to your Facebook business page, yeah?
Well, I do one post per wedding.
Yeah.
So every wedding I shoot, I do a Facebook post.
And you noticed a large change in the reach of your post or not really?
I still get like, you know, a good one is 100 to 150 reactions. An average one would be 70 odd reactions. But yeah, it's not going down. It's, you know, it's like I did one yesterday. Shall I just quickly see? And it was quite a good, oh man. I don't know if you saw it. You probably unfollowed me because I have unfollowed every photographer I know because I just
hate
seeing that.
It's so liberating.
But I did this wedding for this couple out west 2 nights ago, and oh man, we got some good shots. Mm. So that's had 90 reactions.
And how many likes does your business page have?
4,200 and something. Yeah.
It's a sad ratio, isn't it? But like, that's just the algorithm, I think.
And yours is probably a much the ratio is horrible, right?
Absolutely terrible. Like I have almost 27,000 likes. Oh no, yeah, something like that. And like my last post, which was an awesome photo, got 79 engagements.
Oh, that's and reached so crazy.
1,100 people. 49 likes.
How many? What was your reach?
Reached 1,100.
Oh my God. So my reach on this one since yesterday is 1,900.
So this is the weird thing. Like in many ways, having a big Facebook following now is not a positive thing at all. What happened when I went viral was that people from all over the world liked my page, right? Just because of this one viral thing.
Yeah.
The majority of those people are not in my target market, right? Which is like local people getting married. So they don't really care about my page anymore. So I think what happens is when I post, heaps of people don't really care about my page anymore because they're not in my target market.
Right.
Which is a flow-on effect. So Facebook stops showing it to people.
Yeah. So all these random people like might see your stuff and they're like, meh, whatever, don't care.
And I used to boost posts with great success. I used to pay $25 per post and it used to reach about an extra 15,000 people, so it was really good.
Yeah.
Now I did my best of 2018 post, and I posted a photo on Facebook. Went to boost it, and Facebook was like, "Boost this post for $100, and you can reach 3,000 people."
Oh, what?
What are they like? I get they're trying to make money off people, right? I get that Facebook is ultimately a business, but they've totally killed the business page platform and no one's going to pay for it to boost posts with those sort of...
Whereas Insta?
I just don't... It's just good. I don't know.
It just works.
Like the same photo I posted on Insta, the same photo that got 1,100 reach, on Insta got like 600 likes and like 35 comments or something like that.
And tell me if like we're going too deep into this, but what's your method for posting on Insta? Like, do you have a system? Like, obviously photo and then a blurb and then hashtag up the wazoo.
And tag people. And I post morning and night, 8 a.m., 8 p.m.
Oh, really? Australia time?
I smash it, yep.
Every day?
Every day. Unless I really have nothing to post.
And from your computer or from your phone?
No, from my phone. I just airdrop.
Hey, yo, make sure so you tune in and all you have to tune in. Because guess what? Tom, the thing matter. White name, the Snapdown.
Reggae guy just came on in my ears. I didn't catch a word of what you just said.
Maybe that's a sign that we should start the Snapchat.
Should I just leave that in?
Yeah, man. I'll quickly tell you that I post 8 a.m., 8 p.m., and that's all.
But from your phone, right?
Yeah, from my airdrop to my phone.
Oh, airdrop. So, yeah, okay, gotcha. Yeah.
So cool. You didn't hear me because Jamaican guy.
Yeah. okay, shall we box on? Get on to the snipper.
You start, mate.
Okay, good. My snap down, oh man, I had two and I was like, I have to write this down because I'll forget. And sure enough, oh yeah, okay, got it. So I've got a lot to talk about today about Lightroom and the Mac. So hopefully people out there are using a Mac in Lightroom. Mm-hmm. Number one, Tom, just learned this morning. So I'm just editing a wedding, no big deal. And I was like, man, I wish that I could, because I do my cull and then I've like one starred a bunch of images or whatever, and then I edit all those images, and before I start editing, I select them all and I apply my filter, my preset to everything, my color preset. Then as I'm going, I selectively hit my black and white preset just sporadically as I go.
Okay.
And I kind of get sick of like dragging my mouse all the way from the right side of the screen where the sliders are all the way to the left side to click the black and white. And then all the way back again.
Hang on. Between clicking your preset and...
I'm in develop module. I've got a photo in the middle and I'm working on it. And on the right side are all my sliders, exposure. Okay. And on the very, very far left are my presets.
Oh, so you... Yeah, I understand. Yeah.
So it's just like a lot of real estate to... traverse just to click black and white and then all the way back over. So in the interest of efficiency, I tried to find a way if you could just push a key and have it select a preset. I couldn't find it. Is this where you're going to tell me I need some module,
mate? I've talked about this exact thing on the Snappening,
but have you solved the problem?
Yeah,
well, how?
With PFixer.
PFixer. Yeah.
Anyway, sorry. Keep going.
Okay, so PFixer. Okay, so anyway, but I have to look into PFixer then again because I tried to get it working once and I couldn't. But anyway, so trying to solve that problem, I found something that I didn't know was there that's been staring at me for like 5 years or whatever.
Okay, I'm excited now. Sounds good.
If you right-click on any of your presets, there's the very, very first thing is add to favorites.
Okay.
And if you click it, it creates a favorites folder at the very, very top of your presets window thing. And so you can have like whatever, your color and your black and white or whatever you do up in your favorites thing.
Okay.
So at least that way you've... Because I name mine all kinds of weird names to kind of like get them into different like positions in the
List.
Do you know the thing about option 8 on a Mac? When you're typing, if you push... hold option and push the number 8, it makes a nice circle, like a bullet point.
But when you're typing in, say, I don't know, a Word document.
Anywhere, yeah. Like, if you just, what are you in right now? Like, can you just type something?
Spark, yeah.
So just type something, and option 8, and it's a dot.
Oh, wow.
It's a bullet point.
That's pretty cool, but it's happened on the end. Oh, it puts it wherever you put it.
So in Apple, that bullet point is what do you call that? Alphanumerically, it's the top. It's like the first thing.
Okay.
So if you're creating a list and you've got like Tom's amazing photos from Africa, but you want that to be at the top,
you put a bullet point.
You put a bullet point and it goes to the top.
Did you ever use MSN Messenger?
Yeah. Yes.
Do you remember?
Long time ago.
Remember when, let's say, you'd have a list of quite a few friends, and obviously they'd be ordered numerically, alphabetically. So then you'd get people who put a heap of symbols at the start of their nicks that they'd appear at the top of the list. So you'd get people with like 10 dots, 10, I don't know, hyphens and AAAA and then their name.
Yeah, yeah, so I know exactly. Yeah. And so, it's no different to like AAA Plumbing Limited or whatever. Sure. First page of the white, the yellow pages.
We should change our business name to like AAA Photography. Photography.
I think Google will probably filter us out.
Probably.
So really simple favorites thing for Lightroom, bada bing.
Nice one, man. That's very useful.
There you go.
You want to just hit me with your second because mine is really not a photography.
Oh, yours is your rant, is it?
No. Me rant?
No.
No. It's not that, but it's just nothing to do with... you'll see.
Okay. So my second one, and this will follow into my main topic later, because today's all about performance. Tom, I'd like to talk about Activity Monitor.
Yep.
Are you familiar with the app on your computer?
I have it in my dock.
Ah, me too. Actually, click on it.
Oh, what's using my fan? Interesting. I'm on it.
Okay, click on Activity Monitor, right?
Yeah, got it.
Go up to Window, up in the top menu.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I dropped my pen.
Oh, no.
I can't fidget if I drop my pen. go to the Window and then go down to the... You can see there's different little windows you can open. There's Activity Monitor. There's CPU usage. Mm-hmm. Click on that one.
Oh, wow. That's pretty cool.
And GPU history. Click on that one.
GPU history. Okay.
And you could do CPU history as well. That's actually pretty fun too. So just click on all of those.
Okay.
And you can live track what your computer's doing. And Activity Monitor, that's really useful for seeing what's using what. But these graphs that this spits out, they're really fantastic for seeing what... Well, I really like it because I can tell if Lightroom is using my CPU or my GPU at any given moment.
Yeah, right.
And it's been really interesting for me because I'm looking at getting a new computer at analyzing what Lightroom's doing and whether I need to get like a really good
thing.
GPU that's or a really fast CPU.
Really intelligent, man.
So
I'm looking now at the GPU history.
Uh-huh.
And the thing is right up the top.
Real? Oh, now that's probably because your fan's running, right?
That's right.
So, but I don't know because that must be a Skype thing. Mine's just a little, maybe it's 1/6 of the way up.
No, mine's like at 90%.
Wow.
I wonder why, it wouldn't be a GarageBand, would it? Because there's no graphics being, unless it is the external monitor. But
it could be the monitor. Because mine's running super low. Mine's barely running.
Are you plugged into a monitor or are you just laptoping?
Yeah. But my monitor is a 2K monitor, not a 4K. Yeah.
That's really interesting.
And my CPU is similar, actually. So maybe GarageBand's using the CPU, Skype's using the GPU.
My CPU history is, about 50%. And if I look at the Activity Monitor, all processes, the CPU load is very low. And it says... what can you tell from that system and idle and stuff?
What are you talking about?
Oh, you know, on the main Activity Monitor.
Oh, right. Window, yeah.
Where it tells you.
I just go, mostly I look at CPU.
Yeah.
And then I just order it by CPU. And Skype Helper is at 60%.
This is at 56. And down the bottom, what's it got for system, user, and idle?
System 7.25%.
Yeah.
So user 17. Idle 74.
These are 4, 8, and 88.
Oh, I love all this, man. It's so good.
It's really interesting.
So I could quickly, well, later I could go into some stuff about, maybe I'll just quickly tell people now. So some things I worked out, and maybe people already know this, and good for you if you do, but on importing and exporting, Lightroom does not use GPU. It only uses CPU.
Okay.
So you know how, Tom, you said you disable GPU?
Yeah.
In your Lightroom settings?
Yeah.
That's cool, man, because like for import and export, it will not make any difference. Okay. And using these is really cool because you know how sometimes you walk in and you're like, oh, my computer's like, the fan's going crazy. Like, what's going on?
You can see,
the GPU's or the CPU's going.
Yeah.
But when Lightroom does use the GPU is when you're doing sliders, basically when you're changing exposure, changing anything like that. It uses GPU and you can see it spiking as you're using Lightroom.
Right.
But then when you do a big export, like I just, because my computers are quad core, but they're all dual cores, which is normal for a Mac. So I've got eight little sliders because it's eight separate cores. And you see them just all go boof to maximum CPU when you're doing a big export.
So what's your kind of takeaway from this in terms of what you need to focus on for your new computer?
New computer takeaway is that CPU is very, very important for Lightroom. GPU is still important. Because at the moment, the reason I'm looking at a new machine is I spend so much time importing and exporting at the moment, especially exporting.
Yeah.
And when I'm exporting, my computer's, I basically can't use it.
Mine slows down like that as well. Like, slows down so much, hey?
Yeah, I'm better just to walk away, an export overnight pretty much and walk away.
So annoying.
So I'm really intrigued by this new Mac Mini, which has a 6-core processor.
Yeah.
A 3.2 gigahertz 6-core processor. It's like one of the fastest Macs you can buy right now, and it's so cheap.
Yeah. But
no GPU, like nothing. So you'd have to buy an external GPU if you wanted to do any kind of intensive video stuff or whatever. Mm-hmm. With Lightroom, a GPU would also speed things up. This is the other thing that is really amazing. Any new Mac that has Thunderbolt 3 can take an external GPU because the transfer speeds on Thunderbolt 3 are something like 40 gigabytes a second
really
or something.
Fast, yeah.
And so it's actually just as fast, if not faster, than the bus. I think I'm getting, I don't know my terminology, but the bus speed between... Yeah,
which is, if it was like inside the computer.
You've got it, yeah.
Yeah.
So there are these new external hard... You know how you bought that little Samsung portable? Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a new one now. Yours is the T5?
Yeah, I think so.
There's an X5.
Which is a GPU.
No. Yeah, well, it uses Thunderbolt 3.
Yeah.
And okay, your one's awesome. It's a USB 3 and it's got transfer speeds of 500 megabytes or whatever per second. It's fantastic.
Oh, there's a Thunderbolt one now, is there?
There's a Thunderbolt one and the transfer speeds are 2,300 megabytes a second or something.
Why?
It's faster than my computer's bus speed, which is 1,500 megabits. Like, these are crazy fast.
I'm looking at it now.
If anyone out there is buying a new machine, you've got to get a machine with Thunderbolt 3 because you've got access to these crazy fast transfer speeds.
That's a cool looking drive, eh?
And so now you can actually have quite a small, like a 500 gig internal hard drive, SSD. And then this is getting into what I want to talk about later. So I'm going to stop, otherwise I'm going to just flow on.
Okay. Oh, wow. This X5 is a very nice looking...
Yeah, if you're just sitting there at your computer, like just quickly Google Samsung X5 because it's an amazing piece of kit.
2800 meg per second read, 2300 meg per second write.
Yeah. Wow. So look, we'll get into that after your
That's amazing. Okay. I actually just thought of another little. Okay, so yeah, I just thought of on the fly a little nice little quick snap down. So when I got this new MacBook Pro. Obviously, it has no normal USB 3 ports. It only has USB-C and the Thunderbolt one. So I got new card readers, USB-C card readers. Actually, are they Thunderbolt or USB-C? They're USB-C. So I'm holding it up.
Okay, well, I'm going to have to correct you there, Tom, because USB-C is the connector.
That's true.
But USB 3.1 is probably the format? The transfer format? Yeah.
Yeah. Whatever that is, it's that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, because it could be a Thunderbolt.
Well, no, these have four ports, but only two of them are Thunderbolt enabled.
Yep. Speed.
The two back ones, so if you want to for charging, you have to use either one of those two.
Gotcha.
The front ones, you can't. Yep.
Yep.
So anyway, this is a little SanDisk USB-C reader. SanDisk Extreme Pro UHS-II.
Okay.
And it's extremely fast. So
nice.
I highly recommend those if you need to import into a USB-C machine.
Sweet as.
My second.
See, oh, I was just going to say, I think we're limited by the read speed of the cards these days, eh? That's,
I don't know. I guess. I mean, I got these cards that are really fast for reading. They're Sony 64. Yeah. Well, they're Sony. This is the 64.
260, yeah.
Yeah. So the write speed is 100 per second, which is
still perfect.
Really fine for the buffer. And then the read is 260, really fast read. So downloading files on these so fast.
So is there? How do I Google that easily? Sony.
You just Google
SD.
It's called SFM64. I think.
SFM. Oh yeah.
Is that it? BNH. It's like a grey color.
Yeah, I'm gonna try and go find it at BNH because that's pretty much.
Yeah,
that's the only
that's
place
right.
I...
That's where I bought them. Yeah. SF.
Oh, that's perfect, man, because you got a good write speed, but then a super, super high read speed.
Yeah.
So, and they're only $55 American.
Yeah, they're good. And I got 64s because with the Sonys, I'm really...
Great.
Yeah, so I can fit on one of these about 2,400 RAWs from a Sony.
Yeah.
And that's more than what I'll... Yeah, so like I just use one at each wedding in each camera. I do have some 128s. Actually, I have some 256s. They're not the Sonys, but I use them in my backup slot. So like
good for you.
Okay. My second.
Oh man, I should get some of these.
Down. Yeah, do it. Hey, have you heard of or seen the movie Ready Player One?
I never watched it.
Good. The book
good.
Is so good. So I'm 90% through the book. I never saw the movie either.
Ah.
And if you have any interest in any of these things, science fiction, computer games, 1980s pop culture, 1980s arcade games or video games or anything like that, or anything like Tron-esque, then you're going to absolutely love this book. So I highly suggest that you go and get Ready Player One book. It's so good.
Do you read the physical book or do you listen to the audiobook?
I read it on Kindle.
Oh, nice one.
Yep. And that's me.
Hey,
snapdown's done.
Good job.
Are you ordering cards right now?
Should be. I'm Googling the actual test speed of those cards to see if they do get to 260 read speed. But that's cool. I can do that on my own time. Do you want to tell your amazing story?
I'll tell it really quickly.
You don't have to be too quick?
Yeah, well, I'm conscious of the fact that you have a big topic to talk about and I have to go to Tasmania this afternoon. So it's like...
Okay.
At my wedding on Saturday, we were shooting our portraits in a field, and I shot a few frames of the girls, and then I shot a few frames of the boys, and the bride and the bridesmaids kind of were like squatting down in the grass, I don't know, just resting while I shot the boys, drinking champagne. And I'm shooting the boys, and then I sort of hear from the corner of my ear, if that works, I hear the sound of something breaking. And so I look over and I'm like, it's all good. Nothing's really happening. So I keep taking photos. And then I hear like an almighty wail. And I run over. And so what's happened is the bride has tried to rest her champagne flute in the grass. But, you know, you need a pretty flat surface to rest a champagne flute. So she's tried to sort of embed it in the dirt a little bit by twisting it.
Yeah.
And when she's done that, the flute, the very thin part of the flute has snapped and broken, which is the sound that I heard. And because of the downward pressure she was putting on the flute,
my God.
Yeah, it's gone straight through her finger. And there is blood everywhere. So there's blood on her dress. There's blood pouring out of her finger, falling onto the bouquet. And she started off, she was like, I cut my finger. And then she's like, I cut my finger. And she started freaking out. Like it was a lot of blood. So the bridesmaids go into meltdown and they're all like, do this. Don't worry. It's all good. Do this. Within a few minutes time, I think one of the bridesmaids was like, she's cut her finger really bad. We probably should call an ambulance. And then it turns out one of the groomsmen is a paramedic.
Nice.
So he comes over. It's pretty funny actually. You'd think and this isn't a criticism of him, he handled things very well, but you'd think the paramedic would come over and be like, right, let's do this. But he comes over and he looks at her finger and she's like, oh my God, it won't stop bleeding. And this guy's like, oh, well, you know, it'll stop bleeding eventually when you die. So I think what happened is he took one look at it and he's like, this is a really not a bad cut. And okay. it turns out it wasn't a very bad cut. It just, we think that because she'd been drinking, it had sort of thinned her blood and she was, yeah, and she was probably dehydrated. Wait, would that thin the blood too? Or would that thicken the blood? Anyway, blood was pissing out everywhere. So he was good. So eventually we walked out to the car park and we put a towel down and they sort of got some, you know, that Hollywood tape that girls use on their chests to sort of, I don't know.
Yeah.
They wrapped it up with tissues and Hollywood tape. And I was taking photos the whole time and there's blood on her dress and like I said, on the bouquet.
Wicked.
Anyway, she was fine. It was a great story. Got back to the reception and then everyone had something to talk about. And then the rest of the day, she's giving me the finger during speeches with her wrapped up because it was her middle finger as well. It was her bird finger. Yeah. It was cool, man. Like you just never know what's going to happen at weddings. And like,
did you ever have that moment when you were like, oh, maybe I should not be taking photos? And then you're like, no, I should definitely be taking photos.
Man, I think that's a common sort of thought process sometimes with us, because on the one hand you don't want to make the situation worse, but on the other hand you're a documentary, you know, you're there to document. And
yeah
I totally took photos the whole time.
That's so funny.
Anyway, it was cool.
Cool story. Nice. Yeah, story.
All right, let's get into some meat.
Okay, listen, my I wish I could be so lighthearted as you. This is like, look, I've written things on a piece of friggin' paper. Oh, wow. Right here. Okay, so Tom, could I just talk to you about our workflow for import, working on files, export?
Yep.
Am I right in saying, can you just give me your very, like a 20-second rundown of what you do?
From when I just insert the cards?
Like file management stuff. Yeah.
Okay, I'll tell you. Tell me if this isn't what you're looking for.
Sure.
So cards in on my working hard drive, which is the SSD, the external SSD, I dump the raw files into
the T5.
The T5, the Samsung T5, yeah.
1 terabyte?
1 terabyte.
Yeah.
So I'll make a folder, the names, 2 subfolders 1 and 2, and I'll literally just drag the raws into each folder. So I'll drag the raws from one card into one, drag the raws from the second card, blah, blah, second. They copy, new Lightroom catalog. So I have a catalog for each wedding.
New catalog for every wedding, yeah.
Yep. Import the files. The files stay in the same spot, obviously.
I don't
copy them.
You don't. Yeah, gotcha.
Like I manually back them up, but I don't, yeah.
You just add, I think. Exactly. Is that it right?
That's right.
Yep. Rather than copy or move.
That's right. And I render smart previews, and I actually render minimal previews, not standard previews.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, I've just started that, but I can explain why later on.
Sure.
So then I have my smart previews and my minimal normal previews.
Mm-hmm.
Then I'll edit.
Cull?
Then I'll cull, then I'll edit. Yep. Is this what you're looking for?
Yep. Okay. Yep. And everything so far still sitting on the 1 terabyte.
Yeah. Well, I've backed up the RAWs to 2 other hard drives.
Sure.
I should have mentioned that. I'm sorry. So I have.
No, I don't care. Backups. Don't worry about backups.
Okay. So all the files are still on the 1 terabyte SSD. So then
what happens if, have you ever had that get too full?
No, because I color it as I go. Like I never have more than a couple of weddings in the edit queue. I did last year, but generally speaking, I don't.
Okay.
So no, that never gets more than half full.
Okay.
Yeah. So finish the edit, export the photos to just probably my desktop, upload the JPEGs to my online gallery.
Okay. That's cool. Stop you there.
Okay.
Now, let's say you've done the upload, done the delivery, all that's all good.
Yep.
What do you do with the files on the 1 terabyte T5?
We'll delete them.
No, the RAWs.
Yeah, delete them because they're backed up.
Oh, okay. So they stay on the backup drive and you just delete them from there and see you later.
Exactly.
Very interesting.
I back the catalog up as well. So the catalog goes to both backups.
Okay, so that's really good because your T5's got a very fast transfer speed.
Yeah.
So your imports and exports will be nice and zippy.
Yeah, they're pretty quick.
The only way you could improve on that is if you were using your internal SSD, because that would be the fastest. I think it's called a bus speed. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do.
Cool. So what I currently do is use my internal hard drive, which is 500 gig, which is kind of not enough because let's say half of it is, you know, your apps and all your usual stuff. And then so I've got about 250 gig remaining.
For RAW files.
Yeah, it's not really enough. So what I tended to do was put my RAW files onto an external hard drive, but keep my Lightroom catalog, you know, on my computer.
Yeah.
And that was really good. Like
that's what I do, yeah. Like my catalog is on the main drive in the laptop.
Sure,
yeah.
Sure. However, when it came time to export, because it was having to get data from the hard drive, which is where the RAWs were, it was taking a long time to do these exports.
Right.
I actually did a test and I did an export of 552 images, and it's because I copied a test they'd done online. I had the RAWs on my internal hard drive and I did an export. And then I had the RAWs on an external hard drive and I did an export.
Interesting.
It was 30 minutes from my SSD internal and it was 36 minutes from my external hard drive.
Okay.
So, well, a percentage longer, certainly. Yeah. They reckon the new Mac Mini does it in 22 minutes. This guy tested it.
Okay.
And the best iMac you can get does it in 26 minutes.
Like the iMac Pro?
No. The best normal iMac.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Not the iMac Pro.
Oh, that's, yeah.
So it got me thinking that what I need to do is get one of these zippy hard drives like what you've got, like a T5.
Yeah.
And if you're like... If 1 terabyte's enough, then that would be sweet because you could just dump all your RAWs on there, do your cull, and just edit them and whatever. When you're all done, just basically remove the images from that drive and you're good to go.
Mm.
But I was thinking about it and I was thinking a good way to do it if space is an issue, like let's say you've got a 1 terabyte internal SSD. Mm. I got this idea for this new workflow where what you could do is bring in all your files onto the internal SSD, right? Do your cull and then split your album in Lightroom and actually take the culled images, the ones you're not going to work on, and drop them down into a folder on an external hard drive. That way, who cares about those? They're done. You can do all your editing and you can still do smart previews and everything like that. Mm. But the RAWs are still on your fastest drive.
The RAWs you need.
Exactly. Yeah, and so your space goes down by, say, well, your space usage goes down by a huge percentage. Yeah. I don't know, maybe 75%. And then when it comes time to export, it's reading those RAW files from the fastest drive possible.
Yeah, so it's faster.
And your import and export time is still going to be really, really fast.
Yeah.
There's one other thing now. Do you know much about one-to-one previews?
A little bit, but I haven't used them in a long time.
I think that if you use one-to-one previews, it stores a full res preview in your Lightroom previews, like file.
Yeah, in the file, yeah.
And then if you were to go to export, it would take it from there, so you don't need the RAW. I'm pretty sure that's correct.
Interesting.
And you can go into your preferences in Lightroom and tell it that after so many days, it deletes the one-to-one previews.
I'm wondering. This is making me think of something that I read about that. I guess if you did that, you wouldn't need smart previews, would you?
I think the story with smart previews is they load so fast.
Mm.
Like a one-to-one preview is a huge file.
Yeah, it's massive.
Whereas smart previews.
It means you can zoom in to 100%. Is that right?
And
you
straight
have,
away.
And you have no... It doesn't have to render.
That's right. That's right. So, but this thing I was reading still recommended smart previews over one-to-one previews. It said that there isn't really a need to use one-to-ones. Perhaps unless you want all your RAWs on a separate file, but you still want to be able to zoom all the way into to full res. Because smart previews are only going to be 200... I think it's 2,800 pixels.
Something like that.
Did you know that you can actually choose how big your smart previews are?
I
just found this out yesterday.
I think I knew that.
If you go into like settings somewhere, you can just like tell it.
So we're how probably big. File handling. No.
yeah, one of those. Well, it might be catalog settings. There's actually quite a lot that you can do in the catalog settings. So when you go preferences, the next one down is catalog settings, file handling. Yeah, it's there.
Somewhere in there.
Standard preview size. Oh, maybe there isn't a smart... Oh, standard preview size. Well, I can probably drop that down. Mine's at 2880. What does yours say?
Mine says auto 5120.
That's
huge.
Yeah, just go...
maybe I'm going to drop that to 2048 or 2880 or whatever.
I do 28, yeah.
The thing is, I'm really...
That'll be going off your monitor.
I'm never... That's why my preview file was so big. My Lightroom preview file, it was huge. It's like 8 or 10 gigabytes per wedding.
There you
go. That's awesome. Hey, that's really useful.
And can you see that it says discard 1-to-1 previews up to 30 days? Yeah.
I really edit in full screen. I know some people are like really adamant that full screen editing in Lightroom is the bomb. For me, I'm pretty much only editing in half screen, and then I zoom if I need to. It's just sort of my way of doing it. So I guess I'll set it to 2048 for standard previews. Because how big is a minimum preview?
The preview quality?
The pixel, how many pixels does it render, you know?
I don't know. Do you have a minimum? What do you mean, minimum?
Minimal
when you import?
Yeah,
good question.
Size. I'm just
good. I just do standard for those.
1920. Oh, no.
Did you Google it?
Yeah, I just Googled it. Oh, that's standard. Minimal previews, standard previews.
I find with minimals, like when I'm culling and I just want to quickly zoom to see if the ring's in focus or something. It's what?
Oh, it's 160 pixels along
the line. Oh, wow. That might be a bit small.
It's too small. Oh, yeah, sorry to
interrupt. So what I have realized is that if you're buying a new computer, like you just bought a new computer, right?
Yeah.
And you've got Thunderbolt 3 because it's a new Mac.
Yeah.
You could get one of these X5 external portable hard drives.
Yeah.
And they're not cheap. They're like really expensive.
Are they really?
But it would give you basically like world class speed, like 2,000 plus whatever megabits per second. And so your import-export times would be really super, super fast. And then you can use that as your scratch disk or whatever we want to call it, your like working disk. Yeah. But if that ever gets too full, Tom, all you do is just dump your culled images into a hard drive early, you know, before you need to do your
get
edits.
Get rid of those, yeah.
And then you know, whatever, you could then, once you've done your export, just move the rest of them over or whatever your system is.
Yeah. So, here we go, Samsung X5. They're not that expensive.
I think it's $1,000 for a... Now, how much is a terabyte?
I'm just bringing it up. It's not cheap. The terabyte X5 is 1,000 Aussie.
Yeah.
So you do pay,
heaps,
don't you?
Heaps in New Zealand, yeah.
But it looks so cool.
They look cool. They look very modern and un-hard drive.
Looks like a spaceship. Little mini
I think that's what the Tesla key fob looks like.
You know what? I was thinking last night, if I won like a lot of money, what car I'd buy, and I'd probably buy that Tesla SUV.
Oh, really? The X5? Tesla Model X.
Whatever it's called.
Yeah, man, that's kind of my, when Dallas turns 5, I'm going to drop her to school in an X5.
So good. All right, that looks
really
cool.
That's kind of all I wanted to nut out. It was just a case of if people are out there and you're thinking, oh, I need to get my files onto an external hard drive. When you're editing them, if you've got your smart preview file and your catalog on your SSD, that's good. That's a good start.
Your internal SSD, yeah?
Yes, internal SSD. That's a really good start. Mm. But when it comes time to export, it will take a lot longer if it's done from an external spinning, old school spinning disk hard drive.
Oh, totally.
But even an external SSD like the one you've got, which is really good.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Is still a third as fast as your internal SSD.
Yeah.
But if you've got a new computer with Thunderbolt 3, you want to be looking at this new kind of whole wave of Thunderbolt 3 external SSDs because they are just mind-blowingly fast.
I wonder if there are any competitors to the Samsung.
I don't think so. It's brand new. And it's kind of cool that Samsung brought it out, because Samsung, I mean, they're good. They know what they're doing.
Yeah.
For drives and any of that solid-state memory. No, I like it. It would be nice when maybe Seagate or one of those will bring one out.
Western the Digital price or whatever, yeah. Yeah, yeah, when the, I mean, I'd say that's still a slightly prohibitive price, eh?
Yeah.
Like the 500 gig one is $500.
Although, this is the thing, is if you go to the Mac store and you're looking at buying a new Mac, to add on like larger hard drive, more hard drive space.
So expensive.
Yeah, you're actually better off buying one of these drives.
Well,
the speed's more.
I only got a 512 gigabyte SSD inside the new laptop for that exact reason. Like, I knew it would be not too bad to add storage SSD storage. Yeah.
This new little Mac Mini, I'm quite tempted to get one because I use an external monitor anyway, and it's got all these ports on the back, 4 Thunderbolt 3 ports, 2 USB ports, a proper plug-in Ethernet port, and it's going to cost like $2,600.
And you already have a monitor, right?
Yeah, I actually have two. I have a matching monitor for this one, so I could have like a proper like dual monitor setup.
Is that the one behind you?
That's actually Kat's monitor.
Kat's monitor, yeah.
We got three of these and Dells. I love these Dells.
Would you keep your laptop?
I think what I do is the laptop that I've been using, which has just been really great, I'll transfer it to Kat's computer
because she's using. You just still need a laptop.
Well, I have another laptop. Okay. I have a 13-inch because this is a 15-inch laptop, which it's a bit annoying for traveling.
Mm.
I took it away with me last year to America, and I kind of hated it.
Too big.
Yeah, the 13's just the sweet spot. It's perfect.
Too big.
And the other thing is, if you've got, like you, Tom, if you've got a computer with Thunderbolt 3, this is where you can now plug in these external GPUs, graphics processing units.
Mm.
And, for, say, $1,000, you can get an eGPU, which is faster than the ones that come out in the best Macs you can buy.
Mm.
And so suddenly you've got a computer that's just ballistically fast.
So good.
So I like it. So yeah, I don't know. My whole thing is just if you're buying a new computer, get one with Thunderbolt 3 because it opens up so many doors to really, really fast drives. But also if you don't have a new computer, but you've got and you're doing your edits and that kind of stuff, try and keep your raw files on the drive you're working on.
Yeah.
Even if you get rid of your culled images off to another hard drive to save space, only because when it comes time to export, it will speed you up a lot. And some people might say, look, I don't care about export time. And I was kind of like this before. I was like, look, I export overnight anyway, or I go on, I do something else. I go on, have lunch or something.
Yeah.
But I'm at the stage now where I'm exporting so frequently, I don't want to have to like roster it. I just want to be able to go albums dumped, export.
And if it's 6 to 10 minutes that you're earning or losing on each one, then yeah, it does mount up over the course of a week, doesn't it?
Yeah, but something I should explain about that is I ran those tests with nothing else running.
Mm.
But if you're sitting at your computer doing some other, like if you're on the internet or if you're wanting to watch a YouTube video, that's going to take processing power away from Lightroom.
Yeah.
So that half an hour could easily turn into an hour if you're sharing that CPU with something else.
Mm.
So like I have exports sometimes that just take 2-3 hours because I'm actually wanting to, like I want to do my zero accounts or something, or and it's Lightroom just goes to
too slow.
Goes so slow. Yeah.
Too slow.
That's where I actually just go and use my other computer because it's it's not being hindered by Lightroom.
Awesome, man.
Ah, well, good. It's too boring?
No, not at all. It's really useful. And like, it's just super useful when you're considering buying a new computer. Luckily, I think most new ones would have Thunderbolt 3 port. Would that be right?
Yes. I think any new Mac now will have Thunderbolt 3, although the old Mac Pros that they're selling still only have Thunderbolt 2.
Are they the trash can? No.
The trash can.
Yeah. Hey, mate. Sorry.
Yep. Oh, you want to call it?
Oh, I got to go soon. I got to go and like, do so many, 1,000 things for the trip. But sorry, can finish what you're saying.
No, no, it's all good, bruh. I'm pretty happy. Do you want to finish up on anything?
I don't know. Where are you? What are you doing this week?
I got three this week, man.
Oh, triple. Got, Friday, Saturday, Sunday?
No, no, no. Wednesday, Friday, Saturday. It'll be good.
Lots going
a lot of driving. Oh, hey, bro, my car. I had to take my car in because it came up with a warning light. Something to do with the traction control, okay. and then an engine check light, and then there was a leaking injector.
Oh wow!
And so, I have to spend some money, man.
Yeah, is that a diesel thing though? Because don't the injectors at some stage of the diesel, the injectors will need. That's what I understand.
So yeah, so mine's went into Subaru. You know they charge $150 an hour at Subaru for their mechanic.
Whoa! So you took it to the actual Subaru.
Yeah, because it was like all these proper warning lights.
Oh, yeah.
So I figured I'd know what to do.
Did that just out of the blue happened?
Yeah.
Was it still running properly? Like, could you still drive it properly? Or was it a bit...
It did this thing where I think it went into like engine protection mode.
Oh, and limping.
It only revved to 2,500 and I think the turbo was disengaged.
Oh, okay.
So it was like a real lemon.
Gutless.
It's so funny though, because I got a Suzuki Swift like... you know, what do they call it?
Like a loan car.
Loaner.
Yeah.
And it's a 1.3 with a CVT.
Oh, no.
And it's slower than my Subaru was without on, like, yeah, with all limited.
Oh, I can't stand those CVT gearboxes.
This poor little Suzuki is really the worst car I've ever driven.
That's so
funny. What about you? How's your week looking?
My car will be sitting in the garage all week, and we'll go to Tassie to Sabo, and then we'll pick up a car, and then I don't know.
Are you going early for the wedding? Like, we're going. When's the wedding?
The wedding's on Saturday.
Oh yeah, so you spend some time there before.
Yeah, and we don't really have any plans. I've never been there. I just want to cruise around, see what we can find, take some photos, eat some nice food, just relax. And then we're coming back on Thursday next week, so we do have a bit of time before and a bit of time after. Hopefully, do some hiking.
That's great.
Yeah. No, I'm really, really looking forward to it, man. And then when we get back, I've got a big wedding. And then, yeah, counting down to our Europe trip.
Nice.
Which we're going to see you over there. We're leaving, like, early May.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah, we go May 21st.
Yeah, man, so good. Can't wait.
I was looking at my diary, and I've got doubles every weekend from now until April 9th or something.
It's good and bad, right? It's good because you're like, yeah, that's awesome, but it's bad because it's a lot of work.
It's full on. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, pal.
Sorry, bro. I gotta run.
Cool, dude. No worries.
I'm gonna let you
go
off
and make something snapping.
Everyone make anything.
Make Tasmania snapping. I will. That's good enough for
you. You make the computer get fast and happen.
Yay.
Bye, bro.
Hey, see you.